Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
The Gospel of John, chapter 3. Obviously, we know that John 3:16 is very, well, I don't want to say popular verse, but it is a popular verse. You see the reference show up all kinds of places, sporting events and concerts, and shows up on motorcycle vests and all kinds of places. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's the verse. You can look it up right there. And that he sent his only son. Whosoever believes upon him or has faith in him, okay, will not perish. When they die, they shall live and spend eternity with God. And so, you know, if you've seen the reference but don't really know the verse, it's right there, John 3:16. We are actually not, I mean, we will be kind of talking about that principle, but we're not going to look at that verse specifically. If you were at the funeral yesterday, you will recognize that I've read some of these verses, but we're going to start with verse 1, but we're probably going to hang our hat a little bit on verse 8 today and spend a little time there and look at some other scripture verses that are connected with that. I think the Lord obviously wants to speak to us through his word and maybe some specific things to us here today. So verse 1, it says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, because no one can do these signs or these miracles that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, I say to you, Nicodemus, unless a person is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" If you're here this morning and you've maybe never asked Christ to come into your life and, you know, following him and being a Christian, you may believe God exists, but you don't have a real relationship with him. I want you to, you know, as we go through this morning, I just want this to kind of stir in your heart that Jesus said this for my life, for your life, that unless we are born again, we will not see the kingdom of God. And you may say, what is born again? Well, I'm going to read a few more verses, and then I'm just going to briefly touch on it. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? He cannot enter his mother's womb a second time." And Jesus answered, "I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." You are made up, by the way, of what? Body, soul, and spirit. Okay? And Jesus goes on, and he says, "Do not marvel at what I say to you, Nicodemus. You must be born again." You must be born again. In other words, to see the kingdom of heaven, to know God in eternity, you and I must be born again. And it doesn't mean that we have to be born in our flesh again. It's that our spirit experiences this regeneration, this new life. Another place in Scripture, it says, if you put faith in Christ, you are a new creation. In other words, you put faith in Christ, it's not that you're going to look different from the shell that we walk around in, this our body, this house that we're in, okay? It's not that that's going to look different. People are probably still going to recognize you and call you by the same name, okay? But our spirit, through faith in Christ, because our sinful nature, you know, sin, we're born into it, you know, sin, our nature was to sin. But through faith in Christ, who died on a cross, shed his blood, his perfect pure blood, not like our criminal blood, because you and I are lawbreakers, okay? Our blood is not good enough to answer the demand of sin, but the purity of Christ, who is sinless, his blood is pure and can answer the demand of sin, that now it brings new life. So faith in him, the forgiveness of our sin through his blood that was shed for us, and we put faith in him, it is this born-again experience, this newness that comes to us in our spirit that will keep us in this life and on into eternity as we continue to follow him in this born-again experience. So we look the same. We're identified with the same name. Amos is still Amos, okay? And I have watched this guy put faith in Christ and be born again. Your body looks the same. Except you look a little happier now that you're married and having a child and buying a house and maybe getting a puppy. And oh, God bless the young. You know, still call him by Amos. But he's been born again of the Spirit. And I watch now and I talk to him over time. Things have changed for him. Just like a newborn, things change. There's a new way of life. Okay? And so this born again, we must be born again, put faith in Christ, if we are to secure an eternity that God has prepared for us. Now, when I say secure, all you Pentecostals just calm down. It is eternal security as we continue to walk with him. Our born-again experience is an experience that happens, but we continue to live in that life. We don't, you know, experience being born again and then commit spiritual homicide or suicide by not following Christ after that, saying, well, I did that once, so I'm good to go. That's not how this is. We continue to walk in relationship with him in this new life. And as we continue to do that, there's this faith that grows, and this understanding that grows, and the transformation that happens. And it is not just like being born again, it is being born again. And those who've experienced, all of a sudden things begin to change. We begin to make decisions different. We begin to look at life different. We recognize the old ways, our old patterns trying to creep in, and we go, wait a minute, I just don't feel right about that anymore. And I look at the scripture and it tells me to do this. And so I'm gonna work through this. And so it is this whole way, really, of learning to walk in life. Just like a baby grows, becomes a toddler, and begins to walk in life for the first time. It's like, where have I been? Wow. I wish this would have happened to me when I was younger. You know? And so that is what born again is. You don't have to be freaked out by the phrase or the bumper stickers. You know, Jesus is the one who made the phrase, coined the phrase, and told Nicodemus, listen, you're intelligent, you're a leader among God's people, but you got to understand something. It's not about your titles. It's about you being a person that God created, and you must be born again. Put faith in Christ. Ask forgiveness of sin and follow after him. It's a new way, and it's we're born again. And so that's what Jesus is talking about. Thank you for allowing me to take time to explain that this morning. You may be an individual here this morning where you're saying, you know, if Jesus really is who the scripture says he is, I want to be born again. Okay? We his followers mess up. Please don't blame us for you not taking faith in the real Christ. Sorry where we have failed you and where we have not maybe been good examples, different believers or Christians around the world in your life that proclaimed Christ, that maybe, you know, they were in the process of being perfected and still are, and they've made some mistakes. Please don't use our mistakes as a stumbling block to not come to Christ and be born again. Please. This is about you and about him, okay? And I don't want you to miss out on him, and I want you to miss out on eternity. And I'm not saying that just because I'm a pastor. I'm just saying that as a man who has been continually transformed by God's kindness You know, Jesus, the friend of sinners, that title that he holds in Scripture gives me hope, okay? That he can be a friend to a guy like me who has a history and a past, maybe better than yours, maybe worse than yours. We're not here to compare pasts. We're here about experiencing Christ and the reality of Jesus in our life that can make a difference, not just for eternity, but in my life now. And so I must be born again. There is no other way around it. You can't come up with another way to be saved from our eternal consequences. We must be born again. Jesus said in John 14, no one goes to the Father in heaven or no one goes to see the kingdom of God except through Christ. I know we live in a world that's high on tolerance and, you know, let's coexist and just embrace each other. And I believe in loving each other, even people who live by different principles. But I will tell you this, this does not mean that it changes the truth of the words of Jesus Christ. There is no other way to the Father in heaven except through the Son. And the Son... That offends us. I understand. It offends some of us. The Son said it, and the Son knows what the Father desires and what His purpose is, okay? Because the Son has been with the Father. And so the Son is not going to come up with something that is contrary to His Father. They are one. And so He tells us, listen, you must be born again. If there were three or four options, Jesus would have said it, okay? He said, you must be born again. So if you're here this morning and you've never asked Christ into your life, I'm going to give you opportunity a little later to say, you know, I've had time to think about that. I want God to forgive me. I want a difference in my life. And I want to be born again of the Spirit, my spirit. And I want to learn who this Jesus is. Not just up here, but in my heart and the way I carry out the passions of my life. And so the spiritual relationship and the spiritual renewal is very practical when it plays out in how we live every day. And so it's a wonderful walk. It's not without pain, not without struggle, but I'll tell you what, it's not without promise either. So anyhow, Jesus tells him this. And then verse 7, he said, do not marvel at what I say to you, Nicodemus. You must be born again. And then Jesus says this, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. We see this all the time, and I'm not picking on the weatherman and the weather ladies and those who give the forecast, okay? I'm not picking on them. They track some things. They know some basic things about the weather, things that I don't understand. I mean, they have all kinds of apparatuses and radar and whatever and things that I just don't get. They just looks like metal and wires to me, okay? And they've got all these things that read things. But I watch them change the forecast on occasion. Have you ever noticed that? And when they don't change it, it just means they're wrong. Okay? And that's okay. And they are right some of the time. But, you know, they look at the air currents, and we've discovered some things through science and study, and I understand that. I don't understand how it all works. I don't understand how they've discovered it all. But, you know, I understand the information they're giving me. And you will see that, say, well, the wind's coming here, and next thing you know, the wind shifted. And it changed. And it kind of comes from over in this direction. And this is where it's going. Whoops, the storm just went south. Right? Oh, guess we didn't quite know where it was going. Okay? And then you throw in some beautiful ridges and valleys around here. I remember when I first moved here about 8 years ago, and we got, you know, I came in the spring, and as I was going through summer and all that, I would hear, yeah, I know the rain's coming. Let's say the rain's coming. And I hear, you know, you look, it's raining in La Crosse. And it's coming here. And so I'm kind of waiting, you know, not like outside going. But, you know, I'm waiting to, you know, the rain's going to come. Are the windows up, you know? Will I get 7 holes of golf in later today? You know, some of you are saying 7, isn't it 9 and 18? Well, not when you don't have time. It's 7. But it just depends on the day. And then the next thing I hear is it's raining in Toma. I should have played golf, you know. And it was raining in La Crosse, and it didn't rain here, and now it rained in Toma. Who deserves it? All the time. No, I'm kidding. If you're from Toma, I'm just messing with you. Just relax. I know you're from Toma. You know, it's like, hey, wait a minute. How does that work? You know, and some strange things happen. You know, we can see the signs that, and hear the signs that the wind is blowing. We don't really see the wind. I mean, we say things like, look at the wind. Well, I don't see it, you know. We see the trees bending and blowing. We see the debris. We see the dust come off the fields across the road. And, you know, you see the snow go sideways. You hear the sign that the wind is blowing around the corner of the house. You see the sign that it's blowing hard because it just lifted your patio canopy and it's now at the neighbor's. Thought I should have taken the canopy part off the framework. You know, it's caught up in a pine tree. Do you remember last summer, Brock? Oh, the storm came. I mean, it was one of those. And where we rent this house, it's on this little knoll. Well, northwest is across the road is this, you know, farm field that kind of goes down a little bit, you know. And the wind just comes through there. And, you know, Mother's Day bought canopy and framework to put over the patio set, and, you know. And look how nice it is for you. And the storm came. Look how nice it was for you. You know, it's up in the. We're out there in the pouring rain, and I mean the rain was. It was, of course, it comes in the middle of the night. It's not like it comes when you're in a raincoat. It was an experience. It's all saved, though. I know you're very concerned about the canopy set. It's all saved. We retrieved it from the pine tree. That's the truth. So, anyhow, you know, we see the result of the wind. And Jesus is saying, you know, you hear it. You see the other things blowing around as a sign of the wind. He says that's how it is with people who are born again of the Spirit. You don't know where they're coming from, and you don't know where they're going. And it's not that they're mixed up. Well, they could be, but not because of that. It's not that. It's that the Spirit goes where it wishes. The Spirit of the Lord moves. And when we have relationship with Him, we are, Scripture says, we commit our way to Him. He's going to direct our steps. So let me ask you, those of you who are Christians in this room, you love the Father, you believe in the Son, you profess in the ministry of the Holy Spirit and His involvement in your life. What signs are there in your life that show up, that can be identified, that the Spirit of God is leading you? Or are you professing His name and still just leading yourself? What lingers behind you where you just were? Where people can say, hey, there's something significant about what they just said, what they just did, who they are, as a result of the Spirit of God in your life. This isn't to embarrass anyone, just like I didn't mean to embarrass Amos. You know, I didn't ask his permission. I'll just ask your forgiveness. My daughters, they love to hug Carol True, who works in our office. I mean, they love to hug a lot of people, but they love to hug Carol True because they love Carol. But they like the after effect. And I can tell when they've hugged Carol. Because they will get in the car with me, or they'll come in my office, and they will go, not hugging me, they say, now I smell pretty. I smell like Auntie Carol. I smell like Carol True. I hugged her, and there was this sign after the effect that they hugged Carol True because they smelled pretty. Okay? Now all these girls at the church are going to go, where's Carol? They can walk in my office and I'll say, did you hug Carol? It's a good thing. Yeah. It's the lingering effect that they were close to Carol. What lingering effect, what sign is left behind after you are with someone that the Spirit of God in your life, you've been with Him, He is on you and in you, that you leave behind that others can say you were with, or something significant happened from their encounter with you because of the Spirit of God? Because that is how it is supposed to be with those who are born of the Spirit. They are supposed to, we are supposed to leave a trail of signs behind us. We're not focused on them. We're not looking at them. We're not walking into our future backwards. It's because the Spirit is leading us. We're moving on. We're involved with people. We're trying to do the ministry of Christ. We're carrying the responsibilities of our life. We're beginning to make decisions and think different than we used to because we are born again. We responded to the "you must be" that Jesus said, and now we are born again of the Spirit, and those people are beginning to be led different and live different, and because of the Holy Spirit, we are supposed to, you know, have these signs, these lingering things behind us. Jesus identifies. They will speak in new tongues. They will heal the sick. They will deliver people who are oppressed by evil spirit and brokenness in life and these things behind us. The Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Gee, that person was really nice. We're not used to nice people stopping by this office, are we? No, we sure aren't. You know. Wow, who is that? Oh, that was so-and-so. Oh, yeah, I go to church with them. Oh. What lingering, what sign, what is it that we leave a trail behind us that has a powerful impact of God's Spirit upon people? I'm not talking about pretending. I'm talking about being as natural, not in the flesh, but natural in the Spirit and who we are and how we now live. That it is not false, it is not fake, it is not this endeavor to impress. It just happens because we are led by the Spirit, because we responded to the "you must be born again." Galatians 5. Verse 16, Paul writes, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit." I mean, you have to already know this. I mean, you don't even have to be a Christian to, you know, to come into agreement with this. You understand that there are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. And you feel the battle between right and wrong. Even if you are not a follower of Christ, you feel some kind of battle between right and wrong that goes on in your life. I really shouldn't do this, but... Or I really should do this, but... Ah. I mean, you feel that. When you are born again of the Spirit, we respond to Christ's word, you must be born again. And His Holy Spirit comes into our life. Okay, and we are born again of the Spirit. This new walk, this new way, you feel it because the old ways and your old patterns and old habits, you just kind of they come along with you, so to speak, and then you go, wait a minute, I've been born again of the Spirit. This is, I'm feeling a real conviction about this. I shouldn't be doing this. I should be doing it this way. And it's that clash. It's that battle. And that's what the Apostle Paul's writing about. He says, hey, the desires of the flesh are against the desires of the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing things you want to do. Now, this does not mean that God is a killjoy. Okay? He has given us all things to richly enjoy. Okay? That's what the Scripture says. And there are things that we can enjoy, and most of them in moderation. But included in that list is not immorality and these things that we're going to read about. Okay, those are not okay in moderation. Those are not okay at all. That's the reason why we needed to be born again, is we are lost in this sin and flesh. And the Spirit comes to keep us from doing what the flesh wants, that actually is detrimental to our life and our faith in God and our eternity with Him. Okay? You have to know this, that there are some things that your flesh and my flesh want, fight, are used to, are drawn to, that are not good for us. And God is saying, listen, I love you. I want to preserve you. It's like having a child and you love your child. And you look at them and say, listen, don't do that because this is not good for you. Yeah, but the ball's in the street. I want to go save it and run out in traffic. No! Forget the ball. But it's my ball. Don't go in that establishment. Yeah, but my flesh wants to say, no, that's like a ball in traffic. It's going to destroy you. You're going to get hurt. And so the Spirit comes to show us how to live different. Not to condemn us. Not to say, what's wrong with you? What do you do? No, the Spirit already knows what's wrong with you and me. He's coming to bring a new way of life for us. And so this is the compassion. This is why Jesus died on a cross for us. You know, we could have a different life. And so Paul writes about it in this context. And he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. And he just lists some of them. He doesn't exhaust the list. He just talks about all these things that we do that we shouldn't be involved in. You know, when we follow Christ, you know, jealousy, strife, all kinds of impurity and immorality. And he, like I said, he makes this abbreviated list to kind of give us the idea of what he's talking about. And he says, I warn you, as I have warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, if you do these things, you are not responding to the whole you must be born again. When you are born again, you leave this stuff out. Because it will rob you, okay, from this new walk in Him. So, Paul writes it, and we read it, and he says in verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, then let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Okay, keep in step with the Spirit. When we keep in step with the Spirit, and he moves like the wind, leading us in our life differently than maybe what we ever planned, what we ever hoped for, okay, leads us differently because he goes where he wants, he knows what's best, and he's blowing and leading, and we are supposed to follow and keep in step with him and leave a trail behind us of this influence of his Spirit in our life for the betterment of other people. The fruit behind us that people can recognize and eat of and taste of and say, you know, maybe I need to pay attention to this faith in Jesus Christ, this whole bumper sticker, be born again thing that I don't understand. The phrase that Jesus said. Why don't you look at James chapter 4. This will be the last verse we look at this morning. Verse 17, but let's just start with verse 13. James chapter 4. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, and yet you don't know what tomorrow will bring. I just want to pause and say, you know, this is where you and I make plans. And we're supposed to make plans, you know. It's part of life. We make plans. But when you are born of the Spirit, the wind may blow you differently than what you planned. And at that point, Christian person, are you going to move on with your plan, or are you going to follow and keep in step with the Holy Spirit? My plan was to get to Walmart and do errands and get back home because my show is on. Or whatever. Or maybe you have something more important, like, I don't know, I got to wash the car before it rains in Toma. Whatever your plan is, we make our plans, we set our schedule, and we want to honor those things. But what happens in the middle of your plan when the Spirit moves another direction and he says, I have moved you, and will you have an impact of my Spirit in your life? Will you leave a sign that the wind has blown? At that moment of where it's inconvenient for you because you have your schedule and you have your plan, that moment in your plan where the wind begins to move a different direction and God is saying, this person needs help. They need an act of kindness. They need someone to come to them. They need someone to pay attention to them. But I really got to get back. As if you and I can jump in when we feel like we want to be all spiritual and holy. And then when our plan kicks in, you know, it's like, I got 45 minutes to burn here, Lord. If you want to use me, go ahead. Now, I'm back in my plan, you know, so keep up with me. The Spirit of the Lord has a plan and a purpose for you. For you, all of you in this place, whether this is your first time here or not, whether you have faith in Christ or not, I want you to know God actually has a plan, a purpose for you, and we are all called to kind of discover it. And the first step is, I've got to be born again, put faith in him, and ask him into my life, remove the consequences of my sin through faith in him, and move ahead with him. And when I still sin, I know how to ask forgiveness and move on and keep in step with his Spirit. Oop, I stepped out. I got to help me come back. Help me out. Come back here. I got to get in step with you. Where are you? And I don't mean that to sound spooky, because it's not. It's just this relationship with him that we don't lose our way. in this born-again life. We know the obvious things, like the sins of that Paul listed, okay, there in Galatians. But listen to this in James chapter 4. We make plans for today and tomorrow to trade and do different things. And he says in verse 14, "What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." Our life, it is a breath. It is like grass. It sprouts up and it fades away, and generations come and go until the return of the Lord, and he puts the final end time moments into play. And so James is writing, and he says, you make plans for this and that. He says in verse 15, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or live and do that. In other words, I'm making plans, and if the Lord wills, I will do these things and accomplish these things and carry out these things. But if he does not will and his spirit blows a different direction, which is by God's will, then I will follow his will, keeping in step with the spirit, because that is what we do as born again people. So he writes this, and this is what I want us to catch in closing. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Now catch this. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is what? Sin. As Christian people, we still do things wrong. We still commit sins. I know that. I is one. Okay, but here, for those who have been walking in this born-again experience for some time, I've discovered that it's not so much what we do that is sinful. Because we have learned some laws in obedience to Christ. We've got some connection and experience with being led by the Spirit. But I'll tell you where I think we sometimes struggle, and it's what James writes about. It's the things that we know to do that we do not do, because we don't view them as sin. We view them as optional. The sins of omission, in other words, the sins of commission, the sins we commit, the sins of omission are the things that we don't do that we should. I mean, is it sinful to not obey the Spirit to take time for a person he points out to you to offer your help to or assistance to? Or is that optional? That's kind of like, well, that's offerings. It's not the command of a tithe. Offerings, you know, it's a little more optional. If you know, and I know, to do something and we do not do it, to us, it is sin. If the Spirit is blowing us in a direction and we jump out and we say, you know, Lord, forgive me, but I got to do the blah, 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 and we go through our thing to bring us to peace when we haven't convinced God at all, and we commit sin. Well, it's not like I robbed a bank this last week. No kidding. But what haven't I done this week where the wind was taking me? What about you? We talk about obedience, we sing to our Lord and his lordship, but the wind was blowing you somewhere, and you looked as if it was optional. You took time for somebody, or you kind of, well, I should probably call them, and you got around to it, and I'm so grateful that we get around to it. I think the Spirit knows our battle, and sometimes, you know, I think the Lord knows this and says, I need to give Randy a 3-day warning. Hey, you should probably call so-and-so. Yeah, you're right. And 3 days later, and the Lord goes, whew, just in time. Good thing I gave him a 3-day warning. I know that guy. Not just me, but the person next to you too. It happens. And I want to be quicker to respond, you know, and I want to move along. And it's not that every call takes 3 days for me to make. That's not the point I'm making. I'm just giving you an example. The Lord spoke to me clearly about calling somebody. I called them right away this week before. And I'll tell you what. He's not connected to this church, but he's connected to me. Relationship with him. And I can't tell you the story because it's private. And I'm sorry, but it is out of respect for this man and what his wife is going through and what his family's going through. And I just said, hey, I was thinking about you and your wife. And he begins to say, Randy. And he said some nice things to me. He said, I am telling you because I trust you. And I wouldn't tell my neighbor who I have known for 30 years and I'm friends with. See, he needed something. The wind blew me there. Not me. I'm not that smart. The wind blew me. Where's the wind blowing you, born again people? Because you look at things as optional. If I would not have called this man, would I have looked at it as sin? Felt like you should invite somebody to church. Did you? Let me ask you something. Do you think something valuable happens in this place? Don't answer. It's your own assessment. Do you think something valuable happens in this place? If you did, this place would be packed. Are we stalled in our growth? We're still seeing new people. We see people come, see some stay. Or is that just optional? It's just optional? What if somebody didn't invite you? Those of you who've landed here and stayed here. Find some kind of value here? Is the Lord doing something here? Or is it just kind of what you feel and it's a benefit to you? But you're rifling past people all the time that you don't bring with you, that you don't invite, and you look at it as if it's optional, not as if it's a sin. Are we reaching people when the Spirit's blowing and moving in your office or at school or in your home or in your neighborhood or in the middle of errands? Are we willing to say, I'm following the born-again life? Or, I am born again, but I'm going to call the shots and I'll jump in just to assure that I'm still saved. And I can hang around the church and hang around the people, but I can just not do the big sins. But I don't have to worry so much about the things I don't do that I should. Gee, somebody should probably get involved in this ministry over here. I'm just going to have to pray that the Lord raises somebody up. I think he just called you.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.